This episode is brought to you by Signalis. Not really. Go play that video game. Anyway.
Play, yeah, go play,
Worlds.
Play that video game. Play it. Welcome to the Route 1 Podcast, episode 99. MJ isn't here because AT&T sucks. Thumbs up emoji. I think it's AT&T.
Oh, yeah. What service do you have, huh?
I actually don't know. I think it's IINet. It might be either IINet or like, I think that's it. Normally you would have like something like Telstra or Optus, but you guys don't know what that is, so.
I was gonna say, why are you asking? Like, you'll know. I'm assuming Australia has different internet service providers.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of the bit.
Someone says AT&T has internet. I'm like, isn't that the fucking, didn't they like buy out a bunch of like media companies or some shit? Like. Or like Viacom.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
AT&T is Viacom, right?
That sounds right. I remember hearing about this when I was, like, a baby.
Something like that.
Yeah. I have Spectrum. It sucks ass. Don't use Spectrum.
What pisses
me off the most about it sucking is that all of their fucking commercials are like, we're the internet for gamers. We have upload and download speeds so you can video game and you never drop frames. Oh my god, we're so gamers. We're gonna put stock chiptune music in the background. And it's ass. It is so ass. It goes out so often. Don't get Spectrum.
This is very funny. Don't you only have Spectrum over there? That's like your one choice.
Not where I am, no. There's more options, but, like, that's the cheapest one we can get right now?
I see.
So we just have to suffer through it, but, yeah, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway, Worlds.
Worlds, absolutely, yeah.
Let me pull up the Victory Road, actually. So we can talk about, the two random... paradoxes doing good. Iron Treads,
dude,
and Iron Valiant, two Balin classics.
I'm so sad that both Iron Treads and Iron Valiant made it to the finals, but like just missed out on being.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting.
They made it very close, though.
I think it's very thematic of the gen for Maraidon to have won.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, there were a couple of Pokemon that I would have liked to have won, but didn't end up happening. Iron Hands takes another Worlds.
Yeah, Hands could, like, this is Luca's team was like the first good Maraidon team, but they swapped out Blood Moon for Hands, and like I was thinking of doing, like, it's so simple. This is the new Rinnia Sun. This is the team that just works. Someone cracked the code. I don't think there's any other way we can improve this besides like swapping out the Iron Hand slot for, you know, whatever's good in the meta.
Yeah.
Swap out Iron Hands for whatever fat restricted. I don't know, Zamazenta.
Yeah, honestly, I think, like, Zama, there's a lot of things that could work on this team.
Yeah.
But I struggle to figure out actually what that is.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, crazy weird mons that did good, and I love that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. We're watching it, like, all weekend in call, and, like... Yeah, I was very surprised at what people were bringing. There were actually a lot of iron, surprising amount of Iron Treads, which is kind of crazy.
I think that was like the niche mon that worked.
Is pretty cool. Like,
there's a lot of Galar Weezing, which kind of came out of nowhere along with Iron Treads, and I think that was the other, like, this is a niche mon that, like, could have a really good handle on the meta, and it just ended up not being the correct one.
Yeah. You know, very interesting worlds. Marcus, what's happening? What's going on, man?
How was your experience?
I'm happy to not have to play Reg G until
real. I'm so
that,
pissed we're going back to it.
There's a solid chance I might not have to play like Reg G at all.
True,
because might... there aren't a lot of North American regionals compared to previous years.
Yeah, you might be able
and
to sneak
like,
through.
They basically all fell off the map like past December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did we turn? I think we're just like lowering the amount of like regionals in general. I think that's sort of part of like the only the top this amount of people actually make it to Worlds. And I think what that does is like having the lower amount of regionals kind of makes sense because it means it's like less of. If there's less regionals to go to, then there's less. I guess it's like it kind of puts more pressure on having to perform well at the regional, but at the same time, it also means that, like, if you're grinding for it, you don't. It's worse for grinding, I suppose. It puts more pressure on performing, but it also means you don't have to go all over the country. Constantly just to go to a regional every couple of weeks just to, you know, make sure. There's less opportunity for people to overtake you, but there's less opportunity for you to, like, actually get points, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If it, like, kind of messes with the...
They're trying to get less qualifiers.
Yeah, all... How many people
okay with
that,
considering the, it was, like, over 900. It was, like, way too big for Worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that makes sense. Because
I'm allowed
like,
to gatekeep. I got 50th in the U.S. So
that's actually
pretty good. I get to say. I think we should probably limit it. Top 75, maybe even top 50.
Well, I think because of what you were talking about, Marcus. It kind of makes more sense. To have less of the players there and. Because, you know, is that like no knowledge? Is that a leakable thing?
What
the con stuff?
I mean, they made it pretty explicit. It's not confirmed they want to turn it into a con, but I mean, like everything that they did this year, pretty much soft confirms they want it to be more convention. Like they had panels.
Yeah.
Okay. They had panels. Wait, I haven't heard about all of this.
Yeah, there were panels.
I knew, so I was looking, I was just, like, thinking, like, okay, the drone show, that's pretty cool, and then I was like, okay, so there were, like, picnic table areas where people could sit for Pokemon Go, there was, like, multiple stream viewing areas, there was, like, you know, like, the dancers, the hula performances were fucking awesome, like, all of, like, I saw something that was, like, Pokemon Trainer, like, relax area or something near a beach, like, all of this stuff, and then I go back and I think the last Worlds I went to was Tennessee to spectate, and it was the same as any regional. Like, you just walk in and you have the hall. And I was processing that, I'm like, that's a lot more than usual. Like, is it just because Hawaii's, like, a touristy place, or are they, like, trying to shift it? Are people, like, thinking, like, oh, there's gonna be a, like, a convention-esque kind of deal for it?
It just feels like it.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, like, this year they had panels with, I think Wolf even did a panel, like, top players in each of their respective games were talking about, like, how they practice and stuff, and...
Oh, that's so
it
cool.
It was just cool.
See, that's...
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff going on.
That's super interesting, because, honestly, like, the focus on it being, like, the World Championships being more of, like, a Pokemon con is, like... I kind of just makes sense, right? It's, like... And also... Because, like, as someone who was, like, not super, like, after the changes were announced, it's like, oh, making, like, a Worlds run, like, doesn't seem very possible to me. At least, it's, like, at my current skill level and my, like, I don't attend events very often, at least as of right now.
Yeah.
But... You know, if I was able to give it, like, enough time and go to enough events, I probably could make that, you know, possible. And in the instance where they made the change and it's like, oh, only the top 20 players in Australia will make it out. And it's like, I can already think of 20 players off the top of my head that will easily beat me. I wasn't really motivated to play Pokemon. Or like try to make that world's run. In the instance that it becomes like a con, where like, oh, this is just like a cool thing that gives me the opportunity to go travel places and like I'd probably go to an anime convention if enough of my friends were going, but I don't think I'd want to like go apart from that. Pokemon is like a little bit more like I feel like I'd be more motivated to go to one of those as opposed to like an anime convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they already have vendors and stuff.
Yeah. It's like
the best way to think about it is it would probably, it seems like they're aiming for a Pokemon themed convention, probably with side events scattered here and there, but also there would be some bonus stuff. Like it's centered around the tournament, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't have to just do that.
Yeah. I like there's always this vibe of like, oh, you know, bring your friends because you can get the spectator passes and like hang out and do side events. But I feel like it's still even like catered towards like the competitors and their families. If you get people who just like don't really care about the competition at all coming in to like go shopping and like do Pokemon Go events, right? That's how you get their foot in the door for, oh, look at this cool competitive circuit you guys want to play so bad.
Hey guys, you like Urshifu, right? Right?
Yeah.
You like Urshifu? You like Iron Hands? You like Miraidon? Come play competitive Pokemon. I like it. I can imagine like they want like an audience because right now I don't think there's too much of an audience for people who watch VGC but don't play it.
Yeah,
they're trying to expand that.
And like you look at stuff like League of Legends and I want to say Melee because this is like a like pretty big actually. There's a big audience of Melee watchers that don't actually play the game but and don't want to watch don't want to play the game. But we'll be perfectly fine, like, watching, like, fucking, like, Genesis or something. I think Pokemon, definitely wants that. Like, it wants that, that, like, group of people who want to watch competitive Pokemon, but, like, not necessarily understand stuff. Like, they can understand stuff, but they don't fully
They're trying to make it a spectator sport.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get money.
I mean, that's, and yeah, that's a. I mean, that can really be a good thing. I think also the lowering sort of makes as much it. I think the idea of it becoming more of a con, like a convention, is definitely like. In tandem with the changes to like the overall circuit, makes a whole lot more sense because it puts it as much as it means. Oh, I'm probably not making it to Worlds. It means that also that the competition is definitely more competitive in that sense. Like the people who I am watching, I know I'm like gonna get like really good competition. Like a lot of just like a like so much more competitive in terms of like the skill level as well, which is pretty cool. I think at least as for them pushing it as a spectator spot makes a lot more sense actually.
Yeah. Especially, like, I think of, like, all of the trainer, like, recaps. Like focusing on specific people. They're trying to get, like, here are players you root for. So even if you're not playing, there's a reason you want to watch because you're rooting for this player.
Like, storylines and shit. It's like...
Yeah, like, storylines. Yeah. When Judy versus Cybertron... No, it was,
Cybertron versus Seijin.
Cybertron versus Seijin, yeah. That was great. That was like, my first thought was, this is fucking Melee Gods. This is... That's what this match is. Pachirisu was on screen. Poor little thing died, but its Rocky helmet broke Sash, so it still did something. Yeah. I am so sad both of them didn't make it day two. Well, they, I think they day two'd, but like they didn't like
top make, cut.
They didn't top cut. I wanted Aaron to win so bad. Any year he competes, I'm rooting for him first and foremost. He deserves it. I think Judy also deserves it. But then all of my heroes got knocked out. I was so sad. It's like, oh, Marcos is gone. I got to root for Judy. Oh, Judy's gone. Oh, okay.
There were
Cybertron.
A lot of
those. Oh, Cybertron. Oh, no. Okay. I mean, Wolfie did really good day one, right? Surely. Oh.
Yeah. Wolf went undefeated day one and into dying day two. Like,
that was insane. I don't usually watch his videos, but I might have to watch whatever video he makes on Worlds because I need to know what the fuck happened. And I really hope it's not just...
I mean, you only have to lose,
yeah,
like, two games.
That's true. It's a lot higher risk. What but I do wonder if it was bad matchup or if there was just, like, I was fatigued kind of thing.
Well, he was one placement away from getting any money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was 17th.
Oh, fuck, yeah. That sucks.
It's really dumb that we don't have money for top 32 in VGC.
That is really at weird. World, I don't.
Yeah, I feel like we have
the fact that it was an uneven bracket and then it was single elim was, like, kind of annoying to me. I did not enjoy that in the slightest.
The community has broadly accepted, though, that the, we had, like, the day two race, right, where you automatically make day two, mm-hmm. and then it became the round two race where you get a buy round one.
Yep.
That's also broken because it's not a regular buy. That's a super buy.
Yeah.
Like, if you get that round one buy, your resistance is incredible for the rest of the tournament. Granted, you don't lose, like, early on.
Is that not just the like, with all buys in VGC? Like, in the Swiss?
No,
in the Swiss
no.
Instance,
this is...
I remember...
This assumes... this assumes, like, your opponents are 8-0. It is a super buy or something like that. I had Adi explain it to me. I didn't completely follow. All I know is that he said it's the most broken thing we've had in a while.
Yeah. I've always had the idea that buys were always kind of busted within VTC, like Swift, but it might be different. Because, like, it counts as a win.
But you get no resistance.
Oh, no,
like,
but, like,
I've missed cut off of buys like three times now.
Really? They must have changed it or something. Or I'm thinking of the world's buy.
The world's buy is different.
It might be different. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is built different. Yeah. I remember the last Hatterene. There's a Hatterene tournament coming up. I don't know if I'll have enough time to make a team to play in it, but I want to. But the last time I was in, it was me and Balin were playing, like not together, but, like, in the same call. And I got a round one bye after I got two byes in a row. My past two locals before that. And that was just like, I want to play the damn game. Let me in.
At the, Pokemon in the Park tournament that happens every year, it's, like, my favorite tournament to attend.
Yeah, we get potlucks, too. They're fun.
I was extremely late, and I almost missed round two because Scarlet said that, you know, we could drive together. But for some reason, they decided that it'd be a good idea to host the Pokemon in the Park tournament the same day as the Chicago Air and Water Show, roughly 1 mile away from it.
Oh.
So there wasn't really a way to get parked and, you know.
Yeah.
Arrive in time. So what ended up happening is, you know, I'm like super super late. Round two, I pair into Scarlet, who was the person I rode there with, and we were allowed to gentleman's best of one instead of play the whole set. And I lose the gentleman's best of one off of turn one Thunderbolt para.
Like,
oh, that sucks. And then I get a bye round three, and it's a 4-round tournament.
Oh,
well,
so I played one game.
Oh, no. It's rough. Damn.
Tournaments are pain. I'm excited to go to locals more often. I'm scared. What they once they announced, they're like, yes, top, you know, 70 from the US can make it. And I'm like, yep, there goes my chances. I can't even top cut a SoCal local.
I mean, in your defense, it's SoCal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a stacked region. Like,
yeah. I don't want to give up. I don't want to say like I'll never do it, but I think that's like my first goal is to top cut a grassroots. I want to top cut like an official one, like with actual CP at stake. I want to win. I want to get points. I want to watch number go up.
Yes.
Speaking of points, we have how many global challenges? Eight.
Eight.
Global challenges are a confirmed thing. That's like
I think so.
It's global challenges and some other kind of challenge, but they're the same BFL. There are eight of them total. The only difference is that I believe TP, you're limited to, it's the global challenge, and then the other one's called something very similar, and the other one, only TPCI regions can play, so Japan can't play, and I believe, I believe Oceania can't play.
What? That's fucked. Why are they saying
not Oceania, I'm thinking of the other region.
Why are they saying fuck me for?
You mean Southeast Asia?
Yeah, the Southeast Asia one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the only one that they can't play in. So it's every other one is global. And then the ones that are not exclude them specifically for some reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are very, very strong point wise. I'm somewhat glad there are eight of them because you only need to do three.
Yeah.
But I also don't like that I'm going to play in one of them, get like 20 points, play another one, get 20 points, play another one, get like 40 points, and then go, I could do better, and then keep playing.
Yeah.
I'm not excited for, like, it's best of one closed sheet. I'm going to start running something heinous. I'm going to start doing that, That Eviolite centric with Frisk.
Yeah.
I'm going to start running Frisk
Pokemon.
I think Pokemon.
Dusclops is the call. If it's Reg H, run Dusclops Trick Room.
Oh, true, actually. That's actually not a bad idea.
Run Frisk on your Hisuian Typhlosion and click Eruption.
Yep. You're right! Wait! Hisuian Typhlosion on like a Sun team with like fucking Lilligant Torkoal after you, like that's a best of one team. Balin, yeah. We have a shot. Balin. Yeah.
Yes, we have. We
have. Gotta get on this shit.
Yeah, 100%.
I just don't like that I have to build teams with best of one in mind. I want to be able to build all of my teams with best of three open sheet in mind, but it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'll be real. You know what, I think playing in those global challenges kind of sucks, and it's like, oh, I have to play closed best of one. I also think that, like, it's, for her specifically, it's very fun to find, like, the interesting, like, strats. Like, I ran, it was Reg C, I think, when the Ting Lu balance with, like, Gyarados was going around. But I ran Terra Electric Terra Blast on my Gyarados.
Yeah, the Urethra!
Honestly, I'm more excited for whatever we get from the, global challenges. Shiny ruinous Pokemon or whatnot. There's eight of them.
Yeah.
There's eight global challenges.
True. I forgot that those could be, because that's what they did for the Tapus.
What could we get? What could it be?
I'd imagine the global ones are the ones that you get those from, but like the ones that are not global are the ones you don't. So probably the first one, which is going to be September. I would imagine we're going to get like Chen Pao.
Yeah, Champao, Chiyu, I can't wait for Shiny Chiyu, actually. Blue Chiyu, it's like a dream come true for me.
Chiblu.
The Chiblu. I guess we're doing Chiblu now.
You have... Oh, we don't have post-Wurchain, markers on video or anything. What? That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you ever forgive Wo Chen?
Probably not for tournaments. I'm still gonna use it.
Are you still buddies, like, on speaking terms? You get drinks sometimes?
We're not on squeaking terms.
This is quite sad.
No. It is unfortunate. Yeah. I think there were three things that, like, showed up on my timeline the entirety of the weekend. it was the word chain. It was you saying it was stupid anyway.
And that walking was very away.
Funny. And walking away. And then it was wolf. Like,
yeah.
Low res wolf face. And then they put it on pride flags. And then I was like, that's a strange white guy on. Anyway.
I think it's silly. I don't think it's meant to do any harm. It's just supposed to be absurd.
it was very funny, I think. It was everywhere.
That's another thing.
He became holla for a day.
Yeah, he was holla for a day. That's another thing for, like, getting more people into the game, like, even as spectators. Because, you know, the people who are like, when's Wolfie on, are kind of annoying. But if this spreads into other people, I would appreciate that. What I do appreciate Wolfie for is the fact that he has gotten, like, people who did not know shit about VGC to know who he is. Like, at first it was just, oh my god, that Pachirisu was kind of funny. Now we have Wolfie. We know a person. And then they learn, okay, Sajin Park was his name. He has a fucking name. It's not just Pachirisu, right? So...
Disagree. It's Pachirisu.
Okay.
That is
Pachirisu.
That is him.
He is Pachirisu. But the idea of, like, now we're putting faces, we're putting people to it, and now we have people to root for and Pokemon to root for, that kind of thing. Like, I've had a couple friends just say, like, yeah, I watched a couple of his videos and now I kind of get it. I may have said this before, but I will never forget laddering, like, in a VC and sharing my screen, and my friend Manad going, oh my god, in DD Armor Rouge, I know those guys, I saw them in Wolfie videos, they're like assholes, right? And I'm like, yeah, you got that.
Those
right.
Those are bad people.
Well, you're
glad. Glad he's informing them on the important parts.
Right, right. I just think that's so funny.
Were you the one using Indeedee Armor Rouge?
No, I think I fought it.
Okay, I was gonna say because I know you've used Indeedee Armor Rouge before.
I use Indeedee Armor Rouge. Yeah, for Reg H. We'll get to Reg H. I think there's still a little bit of worlds to cover. But Reg H, I copy-pasted my Reg A team over, which was Indeedee Armor Rouge, Mousape, Spiritomb, and Banded Meow. I have gotten more wins with that than I have any team that I've borrowed from somebody or built for Reg H specifically. I don't know how it happens, but it just somehow works, even though it's kind of ass. So maybe I just need to keep using Mousape, and if that makes me a bad person, oh well, I'm winning.
What do you mean
and you're
if?
Not. I'm winning and you're not.
Ash, I wholeheartedly disagree. We played this four times last week.
it's very untrue statement. But that's actually I have something I did want to mention. Like, specifically of, like, things like Mousape and Psyspam and so on and so forth, that I was watching, I think it was a Kony video, and someone said, like, if you want to ever practice a low tier, you have to make your username, like, what's it called? Like, some like, top tier player, so they don't quit on you instantly. And then I think, do people really just, like, insta-forfeit against low tiers of the excuse of, and I get the reasoning, like, I'm never gonna fight this in tournament, right? You're very unlikely to fight, you know, whatever you find on low louder on showdown in a tournament, but there's always a shot, right?
Mm-hmm. I feel
so,
like
I don't know, you want to know how muck works, right? You might not fight it in tournament, but you will fight it on ladder, and you want to know how to beat it.
Yeah, that's definitely a, like, fighting game mentality, because, like, there's, like, I don't know, there's like a want to, like, practice against people in fighting games. It's like, if you play up against, like a low tier, often you can just, like, do your own thing, and it's like you don't really have to play around their stuff as much. You don't have to, like, respect them as much as like respecting a team of six in Pokemon. Just yeah. Because, like,
they can pull out fucking anything from those two emo six. They're not gonna open right. the team sheet. You're not gonna see what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, I'll play it out and see what they're up to, because this might be something mm-hmm. that I'm at a regional, I lose one game,
right.
that I pair up against some guy using fucking, I don't know, they're using Garganical again, and it's like, oh, okay. and it's like, okay, well, I played this before, so I might be able to figure out how to.
You have the awareness, guy. Right? I don't yeah. know. I think it's, I like, especially, I don't know what's with just, like, and I'm not just trying to say this because I've used these teams before and had success. I use them because I had fun playing them. But things like, you know, Psyspam, Dondozo, Aditi Armourouge, like, I used Psyspam in Sun and Moon, and a little bit in Sword and Shield as well. Just the idea, the concept of this gimmick is bad, and so if I lose to it, it's because they got lucky, or, you know,
which is whatever, true.
Whatever.
It's true for a lot of gimmicks. However, you could have done a better job at preventing.
It's
just always true. Thank you.
No. You can beat gimmicks. You don't have to just give up or go, oh, I'm gonna lose to, you know, X, Y, and Z because whatever. I went into a full spiral of, oh fuck, I'm losing to Smeargle Muck on ladder and it's so annoying. And then I remembered Blood Moon can just hit through accuracy boosts or evasion boosts. So then I was fine, right? You could have plans for these things. Just don't, like, it's not, you can't call something bad and then lose to it in the same breath.
Counter argument. You should be allowed to call things bad and lose to them in the same breath.
I think you can, but you have to, like, you have to deal with the fact that
you think you can do that. That's pretty scrub mentality, Balin. I don't know if I can co-sign on that.
Well, no, it isn't scrub mentality. Because,
I don't know.
Because I added the caveat of it, like, okay, you can say
I don't care if there's caviar. I can't afford that.
In the same breath, but you have to like grapple with the idea that you just lost to that, and you need to figure out how to beat the dumb scrub thing.
Yeah,
maybe not in the moment because you're emotional and you're angry, but like,
yeah,
like this is something I need emotional. To figure out later. This is actually something that happens a lot to me in Splatoon. Of all things, because, like, oh,
die! I was thinking about this as well, with Splatoon.
I'm like, oh, I died to this fucking dumbass Nautilus player, this dumbass Dynamo Roller player. They, like, just do shit, and it's, like, I can't do anything as a brush player, it's okay. Well, later on, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, well, if the Nautilus is backing up, it's like, okay, I may as well disengage as well, because I'm not gaining anything by trying to, like, rush them, because they're just, like, gonna hold their charge and they're gonna run away. And for Dynamo Rollers, it's just, like, I don't know, parry their flicks, I guess. Dumbass.
Yeah.
or just, like, run away. Parry their flicks and run away, because it's like, oh, this is just not good for me. Unless you're forced to be in an area where they're flicking, in which case, oh, yes,
you,
I'm
you need to dead. You need to be able to adjust to bullshit that you don't see coming. This is from the hardened life of someone who never gets really past 1500 on showdown.
Counter argument: you shouldn't have to adjust to things. You should just be able to complain about it.
Okay, that's what I do anyway too. So don't worry. I get to whine about being low ladder because I can't get past that that plateau of people just running, snow cloak. What's the fucking veil one that boosts evasion? Whichever one boosts evasion on, like, Articuno, and then Alolan Ninetales with Encore, but they closed the sheet, so I didn't know it had Encore. You know, you need to know how to beat that shit. Because it sucks to fight it, and
disagree.
I'm going to be upset when I lose.
You shouldn't have to learn how to beat that.
I
shouldn't. In theory, I shouldn't. In a perfect world, I would just start high enough that I could fight. Ladder gets easier for me the higher I get.
I think
it is
like
so
a,
strange.
It's like a common, like, through line of people who, like, because it's rough because there's people will, like, talk about, like, improving at games and, like, what their mindset of, like, going for improvement and stuff is, and people get mad and people get, like, oh, why am I not improving, sort of thing. But I think there's, like, this, there's definitely, like, there's, like, these people that don't understand, like, improving, like, how to improve. And it's, like...
It's hard. It takes a while.
It's a hard process. And it's, like, that's when you get, like, the scrub quotes as well. It's, like, the people who don't know how to improve, but they're making it other people's problems. That's like the people who complain about people using top tiers, and the people who complain about, like skill-based matchmaking in games, and
the people who will log
onto a game and be like, people are ruining this game because they got nerdy about it, and I'm just trying to play my video game when I get home from work. That's like where that stems from, I feel like. It's like that people who have gotten to a point where they where like they're decent enough at a game to like say that they're decent enough, but like can't improve past this point, and then like when they can't see the way to improve, they make it other people's problems.
This is the correct thing to do.
I did once again. I made Marcos, every time you retweet my tweet, it goes past the target audience, and it always scares me. I don't know how you deal with this every day. But I said something about like there's Evo moments in Pokemon, just casual players won't watch a match that, you know, doesn't have anything like unique or like fancy Pokemon on the team. And it's like Iron Valiant may look like a Metamon, but it is not in VGC at all. Yeah. Right? Like that's impressive. And then I had somebody say something, I don't remember exactly. Actually, wait, I think I put it in this Discord, yeah. They said that like the format doesn't allow for things out of the curve to shine. And I feel like that is many formats. That is not this format in any way, shape, or form. I look at the top, just the top 16 is so varied in what is there. Like, you know, you have a couple of the same, you know, Calyrex, Shadow, Rillaboom, Incin, Urshifu, right? Just because that's a good core. But we have Regieleki, we have multiple Dondozo, we have both Gallade and Iron Valiant, physical Ursaluna, which was, you know, a lot, most people use the Blood Moon, it feels like, Lando Eye, multiple Weezing, lots of Ogre, every single Ogrepan form, all four of them, you know, lots of Fig Hands, you know, Ditto, Pelipper, Regidrago, Roaring Moon, who we haven't seen in forever. Like, this whole top 16, even top 32, is full of teams that are, like just, I don't know. A lot of them have cores, right? But there's, the creativeness comes in what they add on to give them an advantage over other people running the same core, or different established course. There's a surprising amount of creativity. Just I don't think casual players like know how to see it. Like they see the same, you know, 30-ish Pokemon, and like I don't know. I don't get how you cannot look at how many different Pokemon are in. I don't think the top four, the top three have no overlapping Pokemon, I think, except for Urshifu.
I think.
And then the top four winning team is very close to top one.
Yeah. I think it's just like an... I've actually wanted to, like, make a video about this in general. Like, maybe not a video, just, like, I want to write something up about, like, the phenomenon of, like, people who hate the meta when it comes to playing games. And, like, that's where the using your favorites people are, like, a thing in Pokemon. It's, like, they want to use a full team, a team of six Pokemon, in a bit of their favorites in a competitive environment that doesn't really like reward, like it
your team of six often doesn't synergize with each other.
Yeah, it's like a whole part of VGC is team building, and getting a team of six Pokemon that you just happen to like but don't really mesh together is like you're missing half of the fun of VGC. Like
team building's scary.
Team build, it's like, it's a skill, it's part of the game, like, it's like doing the fear, the theory test before you go take it, like the theory test during your driving test. It's like your written test as opposed to you going out and driving it, right? You're like,
true, that's a good comparison.
It's part of like the, like you theorize and you make a team and you like test it and stuff, and then you go, you know, take it out to a tournament, and then you see if it performs well, and then that's how that kind of works. The idea of it, like people are so like against using the meta Pokemon is like, not only are you like, I don't know, it's weird because it's like, this is a common thing in fighting games a lot. It's like, oh, if you're playing Steve in Minecraft, okay, Steve is kind of egregious there, but like, I don't know, it's the idea that you're playing like a top to high tier is often like frowned upon by people, like,
yeah, and
like
I don't get
more
that.
More casual players, it's the same thing in like Splatoon, like you try to bring up the Sniper Rider to anyone in Splatoon 3 and they're like, oh, you fucking try hard, you're using Sniper Rider, it's like, that's the same thing, and it's like, I don't know, it's kind of dumb. I guess it's like the casual response to like a game being competitive and then people be trying to be competitive within that space, which like doesn't really make any sense because like the whole point of it is to be competitive, and if you want to fuck around, you can fuck around. That's fine.
Yeah.
You have your fun, but like you shouldn't, the idea of it, we shouldn't be able to be competitive within a competitive environment is dumb. Actually, there was a tweet the other week, I think, around Worlds. It was like talking about like the use your favorites conversation, and it very much painted the conversation in the light that like competitive players, you should use your favorites in spite of the competitive players who apparently have an issue with you using your favorites.
I don't have an issue with it.
By the way.
Yeah. No one has an issue with it.
By the way. This is like, nobody said this. This is like exclusively your thing. And I was like, hey, if this conversation only exists because you have an issue of us doing what we're doing. And that my favorite Pokemon is meta Pokemon kind of muddied perception of that whole
dynamic. Yeah, it was like people started thinking it wasn't a joke.
Yeah, I mean, like people are like, because people just want to type it in and like quote retweet. Well, my favorite Pokemon is actually Urshifu because it's like, oh, I earned you on the internet, and actually I was correct thing, which is dumb in its own right.
Yeah,
but. The Karen quote, like being like a meme of kind, like of whatever, wouldn't exist unless a casual player had seen it and been like, that's competitive players. And it's like a big, like, damn, that's, I cannot wait for the day where competitive players aren't seen as like soulless fucking, like,
Yeah.
As someone who plays competitive and is definitely not the type of person that we're stereotyped as being, I can't wait for the day where competitive players are just seen as, like, regular Pokemon, like, enjoyers and not just soulless beasts that use their Pokemon for the sake of, like, using a strong Pokemon. Like, we're not... The current
like
quote's about
fun.
Silver, and it isn't about us. It isn't about competitive. We like having fun.
Yeah.
And like that was another tweet I made, actually, I think, in the in-between of episodes, is like, hey, a lot of the time when we use a Pokemon in competitive, we grow attached to it and it becomes one of our favorite Pokemon for the sake of, oh, I just like this guy, and it's like completely detached from competitive.
I wanted to make, like, I had a similar, like, thing, like, oh, I want to make a video or, like, write something about this, of the one, you can use your favorites in competitive, you just need to understand that there's a reason why there is a meta, there will always be Pokemon that's better, and two, if your Pokemon isn't good in VGC, there's always a Smogon format where it will do alright in, or be fantastic, right? There's always a different tier that it will be good in, right? play
TCG.
Yeah, play TCG. Also, D, you can get new favorite Pokemon by using competitive thing. I thought Spiritomb was the most edgy, boring Pokemon, and then I used it in competitive, and now it's my little baby, scrunky, stupid-looking ghost silly guy. He's my favorite, and I love him now, because I used him in competitive. I don't think I would have cared about Dondozo or Tatsugiri if I didn't play VGC. I don't think I would have cared about Indeedee, or actually, Indeedee's pretty cute. I would have liked Indeedee. But even, like certain legendaries, like, I don't think I would like Groudon or Lunala as much as I do, because I never played, I didn't grow up with Gen 3, I grew up with Gen 4. I don't think I would have cared about Groudon and Kyogre if I didn't play VGC. It makes me appreciate Pokemon more than I, you know, thought I would. And it's fun. I like finding new things to enjoy.
I think me and Ash have, like, this, we kind of, like, feel the same way of, like, we're very in tune with trying to find a way to enjoy things as opposed to, like, being easily able to write stuff off, which, like, people tend to do. Like, we've had a very, like, we've had conversations about how, like, oh, I think I can find a reason to like every Pokemon sort of thing.
Yeah.
I
can.
So, like, it's like, I low-key, you know, like, how people... There's, like, a couple of people who, like, make YouTube shorts being, like, oh, this is a the same guy that I'm thinking of does, like, an analysis of the design of a Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then also they do, like, they do YouTube shorts based on, like, oh, does a Pokemon look better in 3D or 2D sort of thing. I kind of want to make, like, a YouTube short series based on, like, a reason to like every Pokemon, like a YouTube short based on like every line of Pokemon and being like condensing like why I like that Pokemon into a thing. I think that could probably be pretty good. Oh, Marcus, that reminds me actually. We need to organize something because I know. I'm not sure if you'd be willing to send it to me, but I want your capture card if that's possible at all.
Which like one?
3DS capture card.
No can do.
2DS capture card.
No can do. The same thing.
Zam. Because I wanna make a project. I've got like an idea for a project where I like fully settle like the system changes between Diamond and Pearl and Platinum, and I want to like very specifically like get like reliable footage for it.
Yeah.
And I think the only way I can do that is through a capture card, because emulators suck. NTR custom firmware doesn't work, and I don't think that.
Oh, that's why you're asking.
Getting camera footage on a phone or something won't be good either. So,
yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like this whole conversation also goes down to Marcos. Would you give a shit about Wochen if you didn't play VGC?
Yes, I would. He looks cool.
Okay, you're real. I do love the snail. A lot of people, I've seen people say that like him and Tinglu are like the worst designs. There's a lot of, Chiyu and Chienpao fans, but Wochen was always my favorite from the start because I like snails.
Yeah, it's a snail enjoyer type of guy.
Yeah, I love Gastrodon because I like snails, but I like it a lot more because it was good in, you know, VGC a few times.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I appreciate
like Calyrex. Like, Calyrex like as much unless it was like Kelly Shatter was like really good. I mean, I love Calyrex's design, but like, that appreciation early grew after clicking Astral Barrage 200 times.
I like Calyrex from the beginning when he did a little jig, and I'm like, funny little goat man.
His little peanut jig.
Liked him when he did that, but it wasn't as strong as my friendship with him after he clicked 20,000 Astral Barrages. It grew
this
by
is true.
Three digits.
500 Astral Barrages. Astral Barrages.
I just hear the cry in my head. I want to make some kind of thread about Calyrex lore, because Sword and Shield had like a pretty neat little like story arc within the lore of like the true hero and Zacian and Zamazenta and all that stuff with Eternatus. My favorite, like, I am so obsessed with like Calyrex and Eternatus's relationship, the fact that Calyrex tried to kill Eternatus and then failed, and that's why it's in the Crown Tundra, because it like escaped. I think it was literally blasted across the continent and like landed in there like a fucking meteor. I think that's what one of the texts said. He just fucking flew.
Hit the Yamcha.
Yeah, literally, that's what happened to him, and that's why he just stayed in the village the whole time, because he was too scared to go back because he almost died. One of my favorite notes is in like the official art, Calyrex like kind of holds his hand out, his palm down. And there is a sign that says something about, you know, like, oh, we found this Pokemon, you know, dead on the ground, or like almost dead on the ground. And we tried to like, you know, we extended our hands towards them, but he would always like run away whenever we had an open palm. So we would go with our hands downwards, because G-Max Eternatus is a giant hand. So he got like PTSD from palms of hands.
That's crazy.
It freaked him out so much. So there was like, there's like little notes of, you know, you can only address him with your hands down. You can never turn your palms upwards, as like a sign of like respect. And it's like that's what the fuck? That's such a neat little detail to connect him to Eternatus, and to connect him to the fact that he lost, and then Zacian and Zamazenta won, and that he's a grass type, which is weak to poison, and Zacian and Zamazenta are steel types, which is immune to poison, and that's why they won. It's cool! Yeah,
that's really cool, actually.
I like it! I like it a lot. I like Calyrex. He sat on my lap. Yeah, right? Like, that's... I was gonna do it if Calyrex won Worlds, but it didn't. I think I'll still do it.
You tell me Calyrex isn't a bad person?
Yeah, no, Calyrex is a great guy. He's just, he possesses
peony. He seems like a bad person from everything I've heard about him.
No, he's chill. He's a little king with his little psychic powers, and he's got like human level intelligence. He's like Mewtwo. Like, this is straight up a person. And he kind of confirmed that, confirmed.
Wait. Let's see. Featherless? Bipedal. Yeah, biped? Checks out.
That's a man.
This is a man. He also kind of went
to know.
He kind of confirmed the theory that some people had of like, well, if legendary Pokemon are so powerful, why don't they just break out of the Pokeballs? Because they can do that in the anime.
Because they can. They can and they will.
Because they can and they will. But the idea of like, oh, this, you know, legendary Pokemon are above humans in some way. Except for, you know, there's a couple that are just like rabid animals, but there are a few that are above humans in both like intelligence and power. So when one catches one in the Pokeball and they're like, you seem chill, I guess I'll stay with you and then I can leave whenever, right? Calyrex does that 100%. Calyrex straight up says, if you can capture me, I will stay with you for a while.
Yeah. It's almost like, it feels like
thing.
Respect. Yeah, he's respect.
You were able to capture me, so I'm going to stick around. I think that, and then, like, the idea that, like, oh, this person eventually will die, so then I just go back out into the world sort of thing afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we chill.
Yeah, and if anything, Scarlet and Violet confirmed it with fucking Terapagos, right?
Kind of.
Breaking out of Kieran's Master Ball.
Yeah.
Terapagos didn't want to be with Kieran. It was pissed off, so it broke out, right?
L after L for this kid.
Yeah, this poor child.
Yeah, it didn't want to be with Kieran, but also at the same time, it had the cool, like, Terastal energy, it was like, mm-hmm. None of that.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah,
you
fuck
pulled
you,
me
man.
Out of my, you pulled me out of my bowl, my fucking crystal.
My rock.
Dude.
I was taking a nap in there, man. What's your problem?
It also kind of makes more sense in terms of, like, the bigger, how we had, like, the big HP bars for the Pokemon in this gen.
Yeah.
At least with Terapagos, because, like, you had to defeat it before you could capture it. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like a, oh, it's at low health, now I throw a bolt. No, you, it's like a raid. It's like, the raid Pokemon is like, oh, I had to kill it first, and now I can capture it.
It wasn't like a raid, it just was. Thank you.
I like the battles being treated like that, right, because right. Early gen Pokemon games, catching legendaries is so stressful, because there's always the chance that they'll run out of PP, or they'll hurt themselves, or, you know, some status effect will happen on accident if you have, like, effect spore, you know. There's all these variables that make it really stressful. And it's a cool challenge, but when it comes down to it, the fact that it's not guaranteed to be captured when it's, like, asleep and at 1 HP, you know, there's luck to it. There's still a lot of luck to it. So I like the idea of it being a challenging raid battle, or like Ultra Necrozma-esque. Like, I have to kill this thing before I can catch, you know, essentially kill this thing before I can catch it, because it is just too strong to be contained. I think it would be kind of funny if in future Pokemon games you try and throw a Pokeball, and instead of saying, you can't capture this Pokemon right now, you try and throw a ball, and it, like, goes into the ball and then breaks out instantly. I think that'd be funny. Wait, yeah, now I think about it, Eternatus also broke out of Leon's Pokeball, because Leon threw just a fucking basic default Pokeball at Eternatus instead of, like, yeah, at least an Ultra Ball, man.
It's like it hadn't, like, awakened. It's like, bro, you didn't, like, defeat me or anything. You didn't even hurt me. I'm turned into a giant hand now. Die. Yeah. Boosh.
Boosh. Yeah, I like that aspect too. Like, and here's the thing. If I didn't play the DLC and I didn't go, even if I played the DLC and I didn't go off and find all the little pedestals with the flavor text about Calyrex, I probably would not really care about it at all. I would think, oh, that's a funny goat, haha, and then I wouldn't care. But
LeBron makes a goofy face.
Yeah. the building of, like, this Pokemon's basically a human character. And they're, you know, a person with emotions and, you know, stuff that they've gone through. And it fits into this timeline of a story arc of defeating this big bad meteor from outer space. I don't know. I like it. And that's another thing. You can learn to like competitive Pokemon, competitively viable Pokemon, for other reasons other than they're good. Right? Not only, like, having the experience playing with them and going, I like playing with this Pokemon, I appreciate it now, but to, I never really looked at this Pokemon, let me look at its lore, you know, let me put it in Pokemon camp, let me feed it some curry and see his little stupid silly face as he Groudon waddles around trying to catch a beach ball. Like, I don't know. It's endearing. I think it's cute.
There's some people in this world that will simply not be whimsical and enjoy things, and I think that's kind of dumb.
You know what we refer to those people as? Correct!
I think your brain is corrupted, and you need to become like a fucking, what are they called? The
Sigma.
To have your internet access cut from you for like a couple of months or something.
Frankly, I'm offended you think it would take that long.
You need to feel whimsy.
How do you feel about this, Marcos? Do you just, I know you're a very, like, you don't really play the Pokemon games to play the games, you play them to, like, do VGC. Do you get enough enjoyment out of just playing VGC that, like, you don't need all that extra stuff?
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, I don't need all that noise.
That's fair, too.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, like, the casual players who only do, like, the playing and having fun and frolicking aspect.
The playing and the having fun and the frolicking and the...
Most of them don't play and frolic there. They suck. Most of them are just awful. At least the vocal ones. I think there are people who sit in there late and play the video game and go, I love Pokemon! And it's just like... I think that would be us if we didn't have, like, a platform.
Yeah.
Like, is small as that platform is, it's still, like, a platform to say stuff. I think, I don't know, I don't want to get that misconstrued with, like, people who have criticism of stuff, because I think you can criticize stuff and, like, still enjoy shit, right?
Yeah.
However, there's a lot of people who just hate stuff. For no reason. That's dumb.
Yeah.
And I slap you on your face.
Whack. Yeah. You can also hate stuff and just kind of move on. I don't get the lingering part.
Yeah.
I like being that guy who is like, you know, that cartoon with the normal guy and then the guy who's like you know, he's whistling and he's walking past, and then there's a guy who's just like seething, and he's like, I hate that guy and everything he stands for, and the guy whistling is just labeled normal guy.
Yeah.
I like being the seether. That's fun.
You get enjoyment out of like getting upset or like making people angry.
I get enjoyment out of ironically being that guy.
Yeah.
Sitting here and going, I disagree every time you guys make a good point. That's fine.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that here's the thing. We also know that you're being ironic about it. Some people will feel like, oh, you're just not listening to me. You don't care about what I'm saying.
Well, that's true. But I it's fun.
It could be considered rude.
Yeah.
I'm used to it with you, so I don't mind, because I know you're still my friend at the end of the day, I'd hope.
Hold on.
Okay, never mind! Wait, damn!
Going too far, apparently.
Yeah, alright, hold on. Getting crazy out here.
Getting ahead of ourselves. Yo, my friend Ash, smile.
Let's not get crazy.
I think... Yeah, I don't know. Is it... That's why I like to make tweets like the Gen 7 hate tweet that I made earlier this week. What was you have to press the A button? That was funny.
That getting blown up was like scary. This has been a week of us talking about, like you and me, Balin, saying Pokemon opinion, and then it gets scary.
I just have opinions on the internet, and people have problems with that. God forbid women have anything. There are other things that happened with that tweet, and it's funny, but I don't think I'll mention it here, because...
Yeah, we don't want beef with anybody anyway.
Yeah, if you know about the, about stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a very funny tweet. And I think there will come a time where Gen 7 will become like Gen 5 and people will like it, and I will be the whimsical dolphin.
It's already happening with X and Y. I'm having a great time.
And even if it doesn't, that's okay, because I still enjoy my funny little game. And if you're a hater and you dislike that I like the video game, go fuck yourself or something. I don't know.
That's pretty rude to tell them what to do, Balin.
Well... I mean, you'll have a good time, maybe, if you go fuck yourself.
Of course, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't think of a person I'd rather do that with.
Well. You know what? Fair. Respect. Anyway. Oh. Pokemon.
Pokemon. We didn't even talk about Reg H, goddammit.
It's fine. I mean, it's a bad format.
It's no, fine. It's a good Reg format. H already exists. The five games of Reg H I've played, I enjoyed it.
I'm just getting tired of playing Rain Mirrors.
That's fair. People will realize that there's other stuff. We're gonna find something that breaks Rain wide open, and then it'll be okay.
What I'm realizing
I think
I
might
just...
have, but I just don't. It's still annoying to play Rain every. It doesn't matter if I'm consistently beating it. It's repetitive and boring.
That's fair. Mm. That's fair. We figured out that it's also only been like a week. I'm hoping it'll balance out.
Well, the issue is it's not Rain. It's Arcaludon. There's not really a single like reliable answer to it as much as it is you have to disassemble the things around it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Annihilate, though. It'll seem like this impossible wall to break, and then we'll figure it out. The solution is fairy types, but we'll get there. We'll find something. Calm Mind, Substitute, Sylveon, Terrifier. I like that one.
Terra Poison, Hydreigon's also decent.
Oh, yeah. Hydreigon just kind of sits there.
I'm kind of realizing that I actually just don't like how frequent the rotating formats is. I feel like I'm constantly in a state of, like, it's true, because I feel like my team building is very reactionary to how the meta is, like, shaped or whatever. Like, I generally build towards, like, what's being used, and, like, I'll find, like, a core that I like, and then off of that, like, build a team that sort of, like, supports that core into beating, like, what's currently meta.
Yeah.
It's, like, anti-meta shit.
That's fair.
The thing is that I don't know how to build for this meta, so I'm gonna trust you and steal.
I feel like, because I need to look at other people's teams to get inspired to build my own teams, and then
yeah.
First, that is like, I feel like I'm in a constant loop of that, and then I finally build a team that I really enjoy and like kind of fits well into like the rest of the meta, and then their format ends in like a month, and it's like, yeah. Oh, I missed out on like 2 months of a format because
why
I was still too busy trying to figuring out.
I'm so bad at the rotating formats right now.
And dream like, format rotation.
I also have to deal with the, like, if I do it too early, then the meta develops the change, and then the thing that I built is just like incorrect as well. It's very flawed. It's a flawed way of building. But it also, it's the way I do it, and I don't know how to do it any other way, and I, think that having a format last, like, 3 to 4 months is annoying for that.
I agree.
Also, what? Why are we going back to Reg G? What the fuck?
Yeah, no, I hate that. I hate that so much. Reg G sucks.
I guess I have the benefit of, like, I have built, like, so many teams for IG without having actually played them, and it's like, okay, well, I have a head start on what I actually want to build. I have Worlds and Spare. But also, am I going to go to any events? Maybe. I don't know. I struggle to do it when I wanted to go to events, said sir.
Yeah. I believe you have a regional, which I hope you could make it to.
I don't have a regional. There's no Melbourne. They removed Melbourne regionals. They removed it. It's not there. They hate us.
Like
most of the VGC players in Australia are from Melbourne. It's like Melbourne and Sydney, and the regionals are in Perth and Brisbane.
Yeah, so it was Brisbane.
That's fun. And it's like, what about us? We had OCIC down in fucking Melbourne, like, pretty much every year that wasn't 2018. Why do we not have a tournament anymore?
I think it is ridiculous that they just took it out. I don't get it.
I'm hoping they just, like, we're announcing more regionals for later, but I'm not sure about that.
I'll pray. I'll cope.
Kind of stupid. However, I still want to go to Worlds because that seems fun.
Yes.
Thank you for watching, everybody.
Yeah. Leading into that, actually. Yeah.
I win two Worlds in a row in California. I don't care how much it sucks for everyone else. I do actually care. That really sucks. I'm sorry. But I'm winning. So.
Well, it means that if I go to Worlds both times, I get to go see my friends.
Yippee!
Because everyone, most of my friends in the USA and California, and the other guys that aren't there, will probably be going to Worlds. So it's like, awesome. See,
if
friends.
Mike remembers to book a flight. Yeah,
I think he'll drive across the country before he. Like, misses out on Worlds, to be honest. Like, he'll book a flight, probably, but if he forgets, he's like, I'm just gonna drive.
That'd be funny.
If it's the last thing he's able to do. But I'm fairly sure he's, like, he's got stuff planned for that, so I don't know. But yeah, anyways, thank you for watching. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers as well. Crazy Carlton, Shrev, Alan Allen, Plumber, Practice Gems, and Windleaf. As well as everybody else.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Hopefully this comes out when I want it to come out, because every time that I wanted to upload a podcast episode, I forgot, and it comes out a couple weeks past where it was should have. So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna ask people to upload their audio, and I'm gonna edit it as soon as possible. I don't have anything to do right now, so smiles, yes. Grins. Anyway, goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Play Signalis.
Play Signalis.